You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Well, good morning, guys. Welcome to Makers Church. My name is Mark, one of the pastors here. I'm excited to share with you guys this morning. I've discovered over the years that I'm really terrible at naming things. Like, I'm not creative at all at getting names. Is anybody like that? You guys bad at naming things? I remember as a kid, I had a lot of stuffed animals. And when I say kid, I mean like 18 years old. This is high school. Just kidding. And I would name them. Like, I had a bear, and his name was Barry, which was kind of clever. It was like, you know, double meaning. But then I had a dolphin. His name was Dolphy. There was a tiger. He was Tiggy. I had like 30 of these. This was the names. So, Lauren, we're going to have a hard time when we have kids. It's going to be baby, kitty. So I'm really bad at naming things. I've just never been good at it. I was actually in a band in high school. Don't look this up. You can probably find stuff. I jokingly came up with a name, and it stuck, and it's the worst. We were called Fire Escape because my brother was really into firefighter stuff, and he's a firefighter now, but everyone's like, oh, is that like escaping from the fires of hell, which was not the name at all. So it's just a terrible name. So I have a million examples of just bad at naming things, so I shouldn't do it. We're trying to name our talks here at Makers. This is the new thing. Usually, in my last talk, I just named it Bold because I couldn't think of a bold name, so I just give it one word. So if we can throw up the slide here, in the effort to name the talk, and the reason we're trying to name our talks is so that we can better explain what the talk is about. Because sometimes people are coming online, they're trying to search it, and like, what is this even about? So here's the really, really awesome, sexy name I came up with, super creative. My talk's gonna be on boundaries, and I'm calling it The Power of Focus, Self-Control, and Know to Unlock Your God-Given Potential. That sounds like a really cheesy self-help book, I know, but it really helps me explain and unpack what I'm trying to say today, and hopefully this will give you a little context with what we're gonna walk through. And I wanna go through two scriptures quickly, too, that are gonna be the foundational bedrock verses for this talk. They are the inspiration for the sermon that I want to give today. The first is in Timothy. I love this passage here. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-control." God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power, love, and self-control. We've heard love a lot. And maybe some of you know love is one of these things called the fruit of the Spirit. And it's this idea in scriptures that when the Spirit is living and active and moving in us, the result are these good things: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. The list goes on. But sometimes we don't know, or we forget, that while love is the first fruit of the Spirit mentioned, the very last one is this thing called self-control. We don't talk about that a ton. And that's going to play into this idea of boundaries and how boundaries are so necessary for us to step into our God-given potential. And power is the ability to do something. And so all of this is through the name and the power of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. One more verse here to set up this talk is in Hebrews. This is going to be an anchor point for us this morning. It says this. It says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race God has set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and he sat down in a place of honor beside God's throne." We're going to talk about this morning. Because I believe that God crafted each of us and calls each of us to live a life of significance, a life of purpose, a life of meaning where we make incredible impact. And now, significance does not mean recognition or accolades or affirmation. Sometimes we confuse the two, and really they're not very related at all. But all of us are called to live a life of significance. But I think so many of us are way too distracted, way too exhausted, way too busy, way too whatever, fill in the blank, to actually step into the purpose that God is calling us into. There are studies that show that our culture, our modern society, is way more distracted than ever. Collectively, we have attention deficit disorder. They're showing that studies are revealing that our capacity to memorize things, to retain information, is getting less and less and less. Our ability to actually think deeply about things is being reduced. Our capacity to imagine and create for a lot of us is stifled, and it's because we are so easily distracted by so many things around. How many of you guys, when you're working, if you come across a problem or you're trying to write a difficult email and you get stuck, like muscle memory, you just open a new tab in Facebook. Like, does anybody else do that? Like, I see some hands raised. That's me. Like, I don't even realize that I'm doing it. I just pop open, you know, a news website or Facebook. And it's funny because it shows that within about 20 minutes in an office, most of us are distracted at least 2 to 3 times per hour. And it can take up to 20 minutes to get back into that level of deep thinking that we occurred. So if you do the math, we're only actually getting a few hours a week of actual deep intentional thought in our lives. And a lot of times we self-distract with things like Facebook, with Instagram, and all these things. And we're not living to our fullest potential because we're in this constant state of distraction, and we need better boundaries. We need better self-control. We need to learn how to say no. Because I want to look at something here. If you guys have any of these issues, maybe you struggle with boundaries. If any of you guys are just feeling stressed and anxious a lot, if that's sort of the norm for you, maybe you struggle with boundaries. If you feel like you're stuck in a rut, if you feel like you're trying to make progress in a certain arena, but you're having difficulty doing it, you're probably struggling with boundaries. If you're feeling tired and exhausted and frustrated, and that's becoming the norm rather than the rule, if you're constantly distracting yourself or others, if you're having FOMO all the time, hashtag FOMO, hashtag blessed. I love adding hashtag blessed onto completely irrelevant things. If you're finding yourself trying to control the behaviors of others, or you find yourself being controlled by others through guilt, through other pressures, maybe you struggle with boundaries. Maybe if you're unable to shake the influence that a substance or a habit has on your life, maybe you're wrestling with boundaries. If you're feeling exhausted all the time and you're feeling guilty whenever you take a break or when you decide to rest or do something for yourself, if you feel guilty when you do that, maybe you wrestle with boundaries. If you find yourself more and more wanting to give up in whatever it is, your job, your relationship, your ministry, maybe you're wrestling with boundaries. Because I think our society teaches us and wants us to say yes to everything, right? There's even things they talk about in improv. There's yes and. There's books about never tell your kid no. It's always about yes. And some of you even say, well, I just can't say no to people. I'm just not good at it. But the reality is that we are saying no all the times to things, because every time you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to 1,000 others. The problem is sometimes you're saying no to the wrong things and yes to the wrong things, and you're limiting your capacity, and you're stifling yourself, and you're narrowing your view. I love this because I want to talk about focus as it relates to discipline and self-control. These things all relate. Steve Jobs has this great quote. He says this. He says, people think focus means saying yes to the thing you've got to focus on. But that's not what it means at all. It means saying no to the 100 other good ideas out there. You have to pick carefully. I'm actually as proud of the things we haven't done as the things we have done. This is Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, one of the most influential companies we've ever seen. Says, I'm as proud of the things we haven't done as the things we have done. Innovation is saying no to 1,000 things. Again, there are so many demands on our life, and whether we realize it or not, we are saying no all the time, but we often don't have any control or influence over that because we have a problem with boundaries, so we let other people dictate what we say yes to and what we say no to. We do not let God, through his calling, dictate what we say yes and what we say no to. And we end up saying yes to a million okay things or mediocre things, neglecting the amazing, incredible things that we should say yes to. When Steve Jobs retook over Apple, he started Apple, was kicked out, took it back over in the late 90s. He came in, they had 350 products. He cut that down to 10. He cut out about 98% of their products and said, I don't want to make 350 decent products. I want 10 things that will revolutionize the world. And I believe God is calling all of us into a few spaces, into a few pivotal friendships, career choices, ministry opportunities that are going to drastically change the universe and change us. But sometimes we have problems with boundaries, and we no longer have the capacity to say yes to those things that God is calling us to. And I think when we take a step back, it's really not boundaries that we have a problem with. It's this thing called our calling. It's our goals. It's our mission. See, your boundaries should be dictated by your goals. If you do not have a vision for your life or a direction for your life or a calling on your life, how do you make decisions? Every athlete, every artist, anyone trying to change this world and better themselves knows you have to define what you can't do and you can do. I think of Sarah Lucas is here. If you don't know Sarah Lucas, she's a mom of two, and she's got more abs than I will ever have in my entire life. And she's an award-winning, you know, top performance athlete. And she, if you talk to her, she knows is you have to say no to a lot of things. Fun things. You have to say no to certain foods. You have to say yes to getting up early in the morning and working out every day when you don't feel like it, which means you say no to other things. Because a yes to getting up early to work out is a no to other things. But that is what's required to reach that goal. If you're going to have a goal of being in top physical shape, you have to set boundaries in your life. Every athlete, everybody pushing the boundaries knows this, which I love because I wrestle with this concept and made me think, man, in order for us to push boundaries, in order for us to break through boundaries, sometimes we have to make boundaries. You got to make boundaries to break boundaries. You got to make sure you have the correct goals in mind. When I was a kid, I used to ride dirt bikes, and I used to love watching motocross on TV and watching the X Games and seeing these guys do superhuman things with a motorcycle. I mean, when you think about it, a dirt bike, it's this hunk of metal and plastic. It's hundreds of pounds. We take this old dinosaur goop out of the ground, fossil fuels, oil. We make it into gas. We put it in this engine. We light it on fire. It explodes. It makes the combustion engine go. And we learn to drive this thing. It's a miracle. It's crazy. Not only do we learn to drive this thing on two wheels that shouldn't even stand up, people have learned to just take it off jumps and flips, and it's become an extension of their body. And they're pushing the limits. They're pushing the boundaries of what humans can do. It's phenomenal. But when you think back, every one of those guys started off somewhere with training wheels. They had to learn that they had to make boundaries before they could break boundaries. And see, we get frustrated at training wheels because they limit us. You can't do sharp turns with them. You can't do cool tricks with them. I remember as a kid, I hated training wheels. But if we took them off, I would fall and would die. So I had to have them on for a little bit. But eventually, you begin to get better. And you grow in your capacity. And you learn that these boundaries actually help you focus your activity and your energy so that you can become excellent at that thing you're doing. Because the goal isn't boundaries. Actually, God designed us to be boundless. He designed us to live in absolute freedom, in intimacy with each other, connection with the universe around us, and to have this ability to have unbridled creativity. But again, that doesn't happen by accident, and you aren't born ready for that. Just like the person breaking records with his dirt bike isn't born that way. It takes progress and it takes a process. So we have to, in our lives, if we want to be excellent at something, let's take it closer to home. If you want to be an excellent spouse, that's something my wife and I have talked about. Man, like, we want to have the most incredible marriage possible. And we have a really, really great marriage. It's been almost 5 years. But we have a lot of room to grow, too. But it's only when we decide that that's going to be a goal and a mission for us that we can then begin to decide what we can say yes to and what we can say no to. You know, a lot of times people ask to meet, you know, Derek and I and Shalise, we have this, you know, people want to meet with us. We have a lot of people who need help throughout the week. And I love doing that. I love saying yes to that. And I actually used to feel really guilty saying no. Especially as a pastor, there's sort of this mythology that you should never say no to someone in need. But what happens is you begin to burn out. And you begin to experience what I talked about earlier, where your empathy gets slow, your energy gets low. You feel like a shell of yourself. And you have to be able to say yes to the things that really matter. My wife is my first priority, as my top mission is to be the best husband I can possibly be to her. So that is a goal, that is a prism, that is a calling that I make decisions based off of. So I can know, do I say yes to this meeting? Well, no, we actually already set aside this time so that we could have dinner together. It makes decision-making a lot easier. But if you don't have those goals, you don't have those missions, you don't have those things that you want for your life, making decisions is difficult, and you end up saying yes to things you shouldn't say yes to, and then you have no more energy for the things that are really going to make an impact in your life and the life that's around you. There's a reason when you're on an airplane and the oxygen things come down, they say, hey, parents, put it on yourself first, and then your child. We need to be able to say yes to things that refresh us. So along those lines, that's another thing. Maybe some of you are excellent at this, but if you're not, if you're like me and you struggle with this, carve out time to do things that refresh you and energize you. Put them in your calendar, and then don't apologize for it. Say yes to things that energize you, that connect you deeper with God, and make you feel more alive, because that's going to make you a better person because of it. Speaking of goals and sacrifices, I think about my brother back in high school. We both played basketball. He was way, way better than me. Part of it is he just worked harder. I mean, I worked at it too, but he wanted to be the best. And by our senior year, he was. He was the MVP of our team. Our high school team went on to win our division. And he had these things called strength shoes. I don't know if anybody remembers strength shoes. This was back in the 90s. I don't know if we got the picture for it, probably not. They're like basketball shoes with this fat wedge that's just on the front parts of your toes. And so you walk around, you're supposed to do exercises in these things. They're supposed to make your calves swole. Which, as you can tell, I didn't use them because I have the skinniest chicken legs ever. But I remember my brother would just be walking around the house looking like an idiot, just doing everything. He'd be out in the backyard doing ladder drills and sprinting and wind sprints until he was a 6'1 white dude. He was just dunking over people, and it was impressive. And I, you know, I should have gone for it, but I didn't. And, I should have stuffed him with socks or something so you wouldn't judge. I remember in a history class learning that back in the colonial times, the reason they wore the knickers and then the socks is so that guys could show off their calves, because that was like how you showed your prowess and your sexual strength, and is how you found a mate. And I remember learning that, I'm like, oh no, I'm screwed. If I lived back then, I'd be the weird lonely guy, never finding anyone. I'd have to stuff like ham hocks down there to trick someone. That's all they had back then, was ham hocks. But anyways, my brother sacrificed his dignity looking like an idiot. He sacrificed his time. He sacrificed all kinds of things because he wanted to have the best vertical leap possible, because he thought the best vertical leap possible would make him a better basketball player. And that's only one part of it, but it did. And he just engineered his life around that goal. And he set up boundaries for himself. I remember my mom, shortly after my dad passed away when I was a kid, and it was just her and my brother and I, and she worked as a nurse, and money was tight, times were tight. She worked a lot of overtime shifts, but she wanted to give us the best life possible. She wanted to give us the best leg up possible, and I remember her making these choices, these decisions. She would come home after a long shift, and she would read to us. I remember every night my brother was crazy ADD, and for a time, my speech had kind of gone away, and I wasn't really speaking for a while. And she would take the time, being exhausted, she would just read to us and spend time with us, because her goal was to give us the best life possible. And she could have been doing so many other things with her time, but she set up boundaries for that. But then she realized that she needed more than just herself, and she began to connect with the church, and she needed to build community for herself. She needed the oxygen mask for herself. And that was our first introduction to church. And it would take years before I would say yes to Jesus. But I remember her saying, you know what, this is difficult for me. I'm scared of community. I'm scared of these relationships. But it's for my children and for myself that I need to step out in boldness into these arenas. And I just remember thinking about the courage it took my mom to say yes to those things and no to other things. And it's because she had a goal. She had a vision. She had a calling in her life. And that was how she made her decisions. Again, we need to make boundaries to break boundaries, because we are called to break boundaries. I don't want to read actually a little scripture here too. I was going to breeze past this, but I like this one, so I'm going to read it. It says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." This is Paul speaking. He says, "Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training and exercises self-control in all things. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly, and I do not fight like a boxer beating the air." Paul is saying, your life is meant to be run like a race, meaning you need to have a goal that you're working towards. You need to have a mission in your life. There need to be things that you want to accomplish so that you know what to say yes to and what you can say no to. And you need to, it says here, he says, strict training and self-control. Again, he's setting up boundaries so that he can achieve goals. And Paul wanted to change the world for Jesus. There's a story here in Acts that kind of goes into the story of this guy named Paul. He originally, his name is Saul in Hebrew, Paul in Greek. A lot of times in scriptures, God would change somebody's name when he would give them a new calling. You see it with Abram being changed to Abraham, Jacob being changed to Israel. You see this guy Simon who becomes Peter. He becomes the rock, the guy that Jesus builds his church upon. Saul and Paul is actually a little bit different. Paul's name was always Paul. Saul was just the Hebrew version. Paul was the Greek version of it. Saul was a Jew of high standing. He was learned. He was educated. And when Jesus came and when Jesus died and when Jesus rose, he persecuted the church. He hated the church. He saw it as his mission to take down the church. But then he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He had a revelation where God said, "Why are you persecuting?" And Saul was struck blind for 3 days. And then Jesus speaks to this other believer named Ananias, who says, "I want you to go to this guy named Saul, who I know you're terrified of. I know he's the enemy. But I want you to go to him and pray over him and restore his sight." And Ananias is saying, "I don't want to do this. This is terrifying." But Jesus says this to Ananias. He says, "Go to Saul, for he is my chosen instrument to make my message to take my message to Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." He says, "Saul is my chosen instrument to Gentiles and to kings." And it was after this time that Saul began to go by the name Paul, because he had a new calling in his life to go to the Gentiles, to go to the Greeks. And it was his calling that actually shifted his name, because it identified him with his vocation. And it says, "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." See, I'm convinced that God is calling us into places, into purposes, into lives of significance that will crush us if we're not ready for it. Just like someone learning motocross, they're not ready for the Olympics, for the X Games when they're a small child. Paul wasn't ready yet for this mission, but God said, "I'm going to have to take you through some trials. You're going to have to learn some boundaries, because it's going to be a journey." But as you begin to lean into what matters most and say yes to what matters most and no to those other things that are less important, you're going to grow into this vocation. I'm going to do incredible work for you. I've been speaking a lot about calling. What does that mean? Right, I've been talking about God having a calling on our lives. What does that mean? Where does that come from? I believe, again, calling comes best through relationship. So we must lean into relationship with God to reveal our calling on our lives. But if you don't know your calling, start off with what is more clear. For example, with me, I know that I want to love my wife as best I can. I want to start with that. God calls us to love our neighbors, calls us to love our family. And so I want to lean into that. And I want to seek God because God says, if you seek me, you will find me. And then Jeremiah says, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. I don't know about you, but I'm really bad at looking for things. A lot of times I'll come in and I can't find like my pair of pants. I'm like, Lauren, where's my pants? She's amazing at finding things. And she's like, did you check the closet? And I'll go in the closet and I'll look for about 30 seconds. I'm like, I can't find it. And she goes in and she finds it immediately, like every time. Like, I'm like, Lauren, I want some gum. And she's like, it's in my purse. And I spend 20 minutes looking through her purse. I can't find it. She finds it in 10 seconds, every time. And you know what it is? I don't really look that hard. You've trained me well. You've trained me to not really look that hard because you just come and you do it for me. You need to set some boundaries for me because I'm not going to set them for myself. But God says, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. How many of us know what it takes to become excellent at a sport or at a career or at a creative activity, but we put so little effort into our relationships with each other and with God? We know it takes thousands and thousands of hours to go from training wheels to doing flips on a motocross bike. But we just assume relationships are going to be easy. We just assume spirituality comes naturally. We just assume having a purpose and a calling on our lives is just this, you have it or you don't. We assume faith is just, you have it or you don't. But God is saying, I'm calling you into this. Paul says, life is like a race meant to be run to win. To do that, you need to set boundaries and focus on that mark. He says, keep your eye on the prize because that will define the choices you make, the structure you build in your life. I want to close this as well. As we're talking about boundaries and we're talking about focus and self-discipline and structure, we must remember this truth that we see a lot here, and that structure must submit to spirit. And I would say it like this too. When we make decisions, we use things like structure, we use things like reason and rationality to make decisions. But reason must always submit to revelation as well. God is seeking to do things in our lives. When we pursue him, when we seek him, when we step towards him, not knowing the details of our calling, but knowing that there is a calling in our lives to be more, to do more, we must be able to step into that and let his revelation trump our reason. And we must set boundaries for ourselves. So some simple takeaways for us, some simple ones. Maybe these are things you've got dialed in. They're things I need to work on. If you want to have a better relationship with your spouse, with your significant other, with your kids, schedule in time with them. Put it in your calendar. And when things come up that contradict with that, say no. Lauren and I, on Sunday afternoons, I physically put my phone and my computer in a different room because I don't want to be distracted by Instagram. I don't want to be distracted by text messages and emails. They can wait. And so she knows that she's valued in that time because I'm saying no to these things so I can say yes to her. If you're in unhealthy relationships or you're having unhealthy relationships with things like food or substances or pornography or whatever it is, step into a community that can help you set boundaries for yourself. But if you do not begin to lean into the calling of Jesus and begin to step into the Spirit so that you can have this thing called self-control, you're going to be dictated. Your life will be dictated by these things. If you feel guilty or shamed anytime you take a break or take a breather or do something nice for yourself, you need to learn to take a rest. Do the things that bring you joy and do them unapologetically. Someone's like, hey, I need you to help me move. Sorry, I'm going surfing this morning. Because this is what I need. It makes me a better person. You don't have to tell them that. You don't have to tell them the details. You can just say you're busy. It's up to you. Or you can tell them the details and let it be a fun conversation. But that sounds crazy, right? For someone like me who it's hard to say no. But then I just realize, man, I'm saying no all the time to all these good things. I don't want to live that way. But I must always let my structure submit to spirit. Because Jesus, all the time, Jesus was always stepping away to pray alone, to be alone, to refresh himself with his closest friends, But then there were times when he was just moved by the Spirit to heal. But he never lost sight of his mission to come and redeem the world so that we could step into freedom. And the goal is freedom and intimacy and connection and boundless creativity. But the only way to break through those boundaries is to make healthy boundaries to get us there. I want to close again with Hebrews. Hebrews 12, the passage we opened up with, where it says, let us throw off everything that hinders. Man, don't we have so much that hinders? We have so much clutter, so much clothes and crap we don't need and all these things in our life that just take up mental space. Relationships that aren't healthy for us, habits that aren't healthy for us, addictions to things to distract us, media, TV shows. He says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race God sets before us, the calling he calls us into, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Jesus becomes the center point, the mission, the mark, the trajectory, because he is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He pioneered what it looks like. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. There was joy on the other side of all of these boundaries he constructed so that he could break through and bring us freedom. He broke through sin and death. And for joy, he endured the cross, enduring its shame, and then sat down in a place of honor beside God's throne. And then he calls us to do the same. I'm going to pray here in just a second. And I want you guys to know we have an amazing prayer team in the back. And if you need prayer, if you are carrying a heavy load, if you're having problems with boundaries, if you feel numb, if you feel tired, if you feel like there are things controlling your life that you don't want to be controlling your life, they want to be there to pray with you. But the only way you're going to experience the truest freedom that God calls us into, where we can live lives of deepest significance, is if we say yes to Jesus and follow him into that freedom. We break through those boundaries that he's calling us into. And so when I pray, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to ask for his grace and forgiveness and mercy, to declare him your Lord and Savior and say, I want to follow you to freedom. I want you to break through the bonds in my life. And I want this prayer team and this community to surround me and to help me get there. Because if we don't step into life with intentionality, it's going to be the same cycles again and again. But there's freedom, there's hope. Let me pray for us. God, I know I feel scattered this morning. I feel my brain pulled in a million directions even as I speak. God, but I pray right now your Spirit can do what my words can't. And they just cut through. They cut through to the hearts of the people in this room right now, God. Give us hope that there can be release from these things that keep us trapped, from all the things that tug on us, tug on our minds, tug on our hearts, tug on our time, God. God, I pray that your Spirit moves right now. In spite of my chaotic thoughts, God, I can just bring about a revelation and a revival in people's hearts right now, God. And I pray that people hear your call and that they respond to it, knowing that it brings joy, just like the joy you experience and the joy you offer. God, we thank you that you are the ones who breaks bonds and breaks boundaries and sets us free. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.